B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll start with our first story. Shinedown beat Pink Floyd in the Rocktober Madness. And that's all there is to that first story. All right, moving on to the second story. Police pulled over a man near Ontario for speeding, but when officers checked his license, they found that the infraction was not his first nor worst offense. A 60-year-old Timothy Fraser of Toronto had been previously issued 8 separate lifetime driving bans.
8 lifetime driving bans.
That is correct.
Here's someone who's not paying attention.
Constable Shannon Gordaner said, "This is the first time I've seen someone with 8. There is a reason that he's been that many prohibitions, and therefore it needs to be taken seriously," she said. Fraser now faces charges of operating a vehicle while prohibited, driving under suspension, speeding, use of plate not authorized for vehicle, and operating a vehicle without insurance.
But everyone knows that in Canada, they really take the 9th lifetime ban seriously.
The tweet sparked many replies asking why the man wasn't simply jailed after having so many violations. What is the point of issuing these violations when the enforcement solution is to just hand out tickets? Fraser isn't due to appear in court until December. It's like people that you hear who have, like, you know, 15 DUIs.
Right.
And
how?
So on. I don't know. A Michigan man said he made a mistake while buying his lottery ticket that turned a $1 million jackpot into a $2 million payday. Samir Mazahim told Michigan lottery officials that he accidentally bought 2 identical tickets for the June 9th Mega Millions drawing using the lottery's website.
How does that happen?
Well, he said, "I forgot to save the numbers as favorites in the app, so I went back in and set them up as favorites so I could easily play them in the future." And he said that that repeating process had an unforeseen side effect. He said, "What I didn't realize is it meant that I would be buying a second ticket with the same numbers. And once I figured out I had bought 2 tickets with identical numbers, I was a little bummed out, you know, because I didn't think much about it." He thought he was wasting
his
money.
Sure, yeah.
The mistake proved fortunate, however, when he matched the 5 white balls drawn, 1, 5, 9, 10, and 23, earning each ticket a $1 million prize.
Wow.
So I guess he didn't have the, you know, the Powerball ticket in there as well, which would have won him, I guess, the whole thing, or it's a Mega Million. So, but anyhow, he said, "I recently logged into the app to check out some tickets that I had bought, and that's when I saw that I had 2 $1 million prize is pending. I couldn't believe it was real.
Hey, how am I won $2 million?
It took several days for the reality to set in that my mistake had paid off to the tune of $2 million.
You know, my mistake would have me owing $2 million.
Yeah. The winner said he plans to buy a new home with his winnings and put the rest into savings.
Mm.
A virtual Facebook post. Now, here's another lottery thing, which kind of confused me a little bit here, but a viral Facebook post about an incident involving lottery tickets stuck under a car tire outside a Lehigh County store has been confirmed by police. Police said that they were investigating a single incident. A woman reporting finding lottery tickets underneath her car tires in the parking lot of the Fogelsville Rite Aid. When the woman bent over to look at the tickets, she believed she saw a man walking quickly toward her, so she got into her vehicle and drove away. On Friday, police say that they were able to confirm the incident as well as a second similar incident in the same parking lot. So I assume what they think is that this man was putting these wedging these lottery tickets under a tire so someone would bend over.
So that he could jump them.
I guess so.
All right.
What? That's all I can make out to this. Both incidents were during the day. Both involved women drivers. No one was attacked or assaulted. In the second incident, police said that the woman saw lottery tickets near her car but did not see anyone walking toward her. Police said they plan to increase patrols in commercial parking lots in the area, and the department's crime division has begun investigating, which is kind of weird. I've never heard of that.
The work of the lottery ticket bandit.
It sounds like it. How about this? A fight at a liquor store in Pontiac late Thursday night ended with a man shooting another man to death and then paying for his items before leaving.
Listen, I feel awful bad about murdering him. I'd like to cover his bill.
The incident took place about 10:45 p.m. at the Huron Liquor Store. Deputies arrived after the shooting and found a 34-year-old man lying in an aisle. He had been shot twice, once in his chest and once in his pelvis area. Police say surveillance footage shows a suspect, a 26-year-old man, paying for his items when the victim came in and started punching him.
Mm-hmm.
The fight went off camera, and then the other customers can be seen fleeing from the store. The suspect paid for his items and left. Police were still on the scene when the suspect's mother called. About a mile north of the store, she said her son was the one involved in the fight and that he shot a man who had attacked him. Police arrived and recovered the gun and arrested the suspect. Police will now present the case to the prosecutor's office. So I don't know if this guy was simply defending himself. Or not,
it sort of sounds that way, doesn't it?
But he paid up and left.
Yeah.
Generally, you want to stick around
right.
if you shot and killed somebody.
That's kind of the rule, right?
Standard rule.
If you murder someone in self-defense, stay around.
All right, and then one last story. In Tennessee, a severed finger pointed deputies Ooh. In a suspect Thursday during an investigation into a recent theft.
Not a finger!
The sheriff's office responded to a report of a stolen log splitter at a property where severed finger was found along with a cell phone,
a
tools, and other items. So I guess I'm assuming he cut him on the log splitter?
It sounds that way.
Detectives found that Hugh Sieber had been dropped off at Methodist Medical Center with a missing finger.
I can't find one of my fingers.
The 50-year-old was then transported to another treatment center for, obviously, treatment. Detective Sean Flynn met him there, taking the severed finger with him. Sieber was later charged with felony theft of property. I never did find out if they were able to reattach the finger or not.
If you were to lose a finger... On your, I assume everyone would opt for the pinky, right?
I would, obviously, yeah.
Right, right.
I would opt for the pinky finger.
If you're given a choice. And in life, we're often given choices about which fingers
finger
we want.
Finger to lose. Yeah.
I don't have a favorite finger, but I think the pinky would probably be the most expendable. I mean,
strength-wise, you got, yeah.
You ever find yourself, for no reason or another, whether you may be drinking something or picking something up, raising your pinky finger?
Yes. When I'm having tea, I'll do that.
You will do that?
Yeah, just as a joke.
As a joke, though. But I mean, not as a joke.
No. Yeah, I always do it with...
I can't believe I'm raising my pinky
This is very good, and I'll raise both my
pinky.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
Escaped self-cloning mutant crayfish created in experimental breeding programs have invaded a Belgian cemetery.
This sounds terrifying.
Yes, it does. Hundreds of the duplicating crustaceans, which can dig down to up to a meter and are always female, pose a deadly threat to local biodiversity after colonizing a historic Antwerp graveyard.
Where was this created?
This is in Belgium.
Oh, boy.
Kevin Shears of the Flemish Institute of Nature and Woodland Research said it's impossible to round all of them up. It's like trying to empty the ocean with a thimble. Marbled crayfish, which travel across land and water at night and eat whatever they can, do not occur in nature and are banned by the European Union. Instead, the freshwater beasts are thought to have been bred by unscrupulous German pet traders in the 1990s.
Mm.
They're similar to the sloth crayfish found in Florida, but are parthenogenetic, which means that they reproduce with themselves and all their children are genetically identical females. The mutation, which occurred about 25 years ago, means populations can spring up rapidly from just a single Procambrius virginalis.
This is a nightmare.
Virginalis. The pet trade is to blame for the infestation at the cemetery, where the bodies of 1577 British Commonwealth soldiers killed by World War II lie.
Crayfish are popular pets?
Someone apparently had the animal in their aquarium and then set it free in a canal. Often people get tired of their animals or the marbled crayfish population is getting too large at home. So once again, just to reiterate, escaped self-cloning mutant crayfish created in an experimental breeding program have invaded a Belgian cemetery.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Ugh.
How about this? Two women awoke Wednesday morning to find an intruder in their home in Glide, Oregon. They confronted the intruder, who left and then called police. Law enforcement officers were able to identify the male from a photograph taken by the homeowner as 30-year-old Michael Lowell Gilligan. And they observed Gilligan enter a vehicle and look through several compartments. Deputies detained Gilligan and learned that he had entered another vehicle in the area and stolen the backpack.
This is all for Gilligan, isn't it?
He was wearing, yes. Well, that and the ending of this. Deputies state that Gilligan was also in possession of a gallon of milk and a can of beets, which are suspected of being stolen. I was just thinking about, as I was preparing this story, how unfortunate any human being is that is named Gilligan.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's just, it will forever be just a bad name.
There is one cool Gilligan, the Gilligan who created Breaking Bad, right?
Oh, Vince Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have that to fall back on. All right. This story is out of Virginia. A cockatiel in a bird cage was abandoned on the side of a roadway.
I want my bird.
The deputy.
My bird.
I did this specifically just so we could play that clip. Deputy was called for the report of an abandoned cockatiel.
I want my bird.
Originally from Australia, cockatiels are used to living in varied temperatures in the wild, but pet cockatiels rely on the creature comforts of a climate of climate control and shouldn't be left outside in the cold. And the cockatiel is currently being cared for by an animal shelter right now.
Those things will live forever, yeah. Too.
A driver who picked up what he thought was a dead bald eagle.
I want my bird.
On a highway.
I want to go home.
Got quite the shock after the bird started to show signs of life in the back seat of his van route to a conservation office. Dude, it's a bald eagle. Uh-huh. Those things are huge.
Yeah, huge talons. They'll rip your head off.
Mark Rice said he was driving when he stopped to scoop up the apparently lifeless bird because it was being attacked by crows.
That was awesome.
Well, en route, Rice heard a rustle from the back of his van and looked back to see the eagle staring at him. And he's like, oh, I'm like, hey, crap, this bird is alive. Staff Sergeant Sven Nielsen drove his van to the parking lot, saying that he had a bald eagle in the back of his van. Nielsen said it's possible the eagle had a concussion of sorts and was completely knocked out before it revived in the moving vehicle. An officer arrived quickly and transferred the bird to a crate. The bird got more lively and stood up for the first time.
Oh, my God.
And had its wings now partially up, which was a good sign.
Yeah. Sorry about your car, though, man.
Yeah, exactly. but they put a blanket around the full-size adult, and it was taken to a local veterinarian to be examined, and there are plans to release it to a rehabilitation center. Time for one more. That's it.
All right, one
last one. The pandemic wasn't caused by Walmart in Edmonton, Oklahoma. That's what it says.
I want my bird.
Exactly.
I want my bird.
It's not the reason they closed a Walmart Oklahoma.
No.
The store was forced to temporarily close on Thursday after a skunk was discovered in the men's shoe department.
What?
Just before 8 a.m.
And the skunk thought the smell of the patrons was so much it ran out screaming, right?
Store officials called Redbeard's Wildlife Solutions to come and get the animal. It was taken to a Wild Care, Oklahoma, to heal from an injury. Maybe now Joe Exotic has opened up a skunk joint from injury before it's released back into the wild. And there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.